I want to tell you a quick story. Diane and I know of a church. It's not been a church we were part of, but we have some very close friends that go to that church. It's in another state. It's not around here. And we watched a live video of their pastor Wednesday night. And that pastor, it was a long video, but the gist of this announcement from this pastor was he announced to his congregation on a video that there was no church to come back to. And the church was closing for good. And of course, since we have friends there, that makes us sad. Anytime I see a church close, it makes me sad. But imagine if we were in that place. That'd be pretty awful. So our friends are really dealing with some things. And the reason that church, there was some other reasons, but the primary number one reason that that church is falling apart or is closing is over disagreements on how to handle COVID and all of that, whether they should meet, whether they shouldn't meet, what guidelines should they follow, what should they do and not do. Well, this could, hey, don't rush up to help me. So they are closing their church forever. There's not going to be a church. Our friends have to, they don't even have an online church to look at today, much less they don't know where they're going to go in the future. So it doesn't really matter what side each person agreed with in that church. Some were all for opening right away, full force. Others were like, no, we can't open. And whatever, they don't have a church now. Some of those people, probably all those people, because it's a newer, younger church, they were as committed to their church as you are. And I tell you that, I know it's a long story, but I tell you that to remind you that the deepest differences, if we could find people that were just deeply divided on how we should handle this, what we should be doing, not doing, it's not worth dividing our church. It's not worth hurting our church. As I said in the Thursday email, if you come up against somebody in the church that has a different opinion, that's okay. You have your opinion as well. Love and respect is going to go a lot way for each other than, and that it's more important than what we think we should or shouldn't do. And I tell you that story also that we have a lot to be thankful for this morning. We're here, and we plan on being in the building next week. We are going to worship today when I get done talking up here. And we're going to worship next week, and our activities and our programs are slowly returning. You'll see that as the weeks come up here and go by. Because we are united in Jesus Christ. Everything else is secondary. So be thankful for all of that. Be thankful that we're here. And be thankful for the couple of announcements I'm about to give you are good announcements. Things, they're not announcements about a church being closed. All right, couple of announcements. Y'all are probably sick of hearing about COVID. I'm sick of hearing about COVID. I'm sick of reading it on the news. But it also is kind of like what we talk about when we get together and kind of can't help but talk about it. And today I'm going to talk a bit about it, but kind of frame it a little bit. I'm not going to talk about it exclusively, but I promise that this kind of talk will be minimal, and you know I won't be bringing it up every week, not much anyway. So I want to start with this and end with this, and I already gave you this before, but let's get it in our minds again. Who or what is guiding you through this? Not just COVID, but we have other difficult things in the news that distress us. Who is guiding you? Who are you listening to as we go through this? Now, 2 weeks ago on our online service, Eric Hall was from FEC, our denomination. He gave a two-part sermon. 2 weeks ago was the first one, and last week was the second. Did a great job. And if you remember that first sermon, if you watched it, it was based on Psalm 23, and the first words of Psalm 23 are, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he asked, it was a great challenge, who is your shepherd? So I'm kind of borrowing that from him, but he got it from the Bible, so it's okay. Who is your shepherd through COVID? Who is your shepherd as you see these terrible images on the news or wherever you cite websites or whatever it is? And I want you to be really real with yourself. You don't have to say it out loud. Just be real with yourself. We all know that the answer should be God. That's the Sunday school answer. If I went around with a microphone, oh, it's God, it's God. You know, that's the answer. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be your God. Jesus sent you the Holy Spirit, and he's a counselor. He's a guide. Jesus used those words for him. So take an imaginary dose of truth serum. That doesn't really exist in the world, but if it did, who has your attention through this? Who has your time through this thing? Is it your favorite cable news network? Pick one, whichever one's your favorite. Is it somebody on YouTube saying what you ought to think, what you ought to feel? Somebody on Facebook sharing things, putting their opinions on there? Is it the network news? We still have the good old network news out there. Some news site you follow online that maybe isn't as well known. Maybe what your friends say, what they're coming up with. Be real today. Think about it. Who is guiding you through this? Who are you allowing to guide you through this? Because I am assuming that since you're here today, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord. You have confessed him as your Lord, accepted his salvation. Now, if that has not happened for you, it doesn't matter how long you've gone to church, if you've never made that decision, been baptized, made that public, I want to talk to you because you need to know Jesus. You don't need to know about the church and be part of the church and religion and all the things that we do. You need to know Jesus first, and then all the other stuff comes. You need to know Jesus. All right. If you've confessed Jesus as Lord, and I'm assuming that most of us here have at some point, he is just that. You confessed him as Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of COVID. He is the Lord of protest and racism and all these other things. All these things come under Jesus, and he's more powerful than any of it. He's the Lord of governments. He's the Lord of cable news. He's the Lord of rumors. Everything. Jesus truly is Lord. He is Lord whether we believe it or not. If somebody doesn't confess Jesus as Lord, he's still Lord. And he doesn't even have to prove he's Lord because by his very nature, who he is Lord. He is God. But he did prove it. And there's one act that Jesus did that absolutely proves it. Because if it happened, everybody needs to take Jesus seriously because he is Lord. If this really happened, this thing, if not, we are wasting our time. You've wasted your time coming here if this thing didn't happen. We've wasted our time keeping a building going and all the offering, all the things that we do. It's a waste of time. There's no in-between. It all hangs on one thing, and that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus rose. If Jesus rose from the dead, he's Lord. He's Lord. There's no way to get around it. If that really happened, historically, not a story or anything like that, but if it really, truly happened, then he is Lord. And if he's not, all of this is for nothing. It's just another religion. We're just, you know, trying to be good people. The resurrection is where I start talking when I encounter a non-Christian. They want to know about the church and everything. I try to steer it to the resurrection and away from all the, you know, red herrings that people like to come up with. Because if the resurrection happened and that person can at least think, well, maybe it did happen, then we have something to talk about. When Paul summed up salvation in Romans 10:9, it's not everything you need to know about salvation, but in Romans 10:9, Paul summed it up in one sentence, and he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so the resurrection is part of something everyone needs to believe if they're going to call Jesus Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to go there today. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul wrote some things in this chapter that are very challenging, but they're also very, very beautiful. And I want you to hear them today. And he wrote about the resurrection in this chapter. And he really lays it on the line. I mean, he doesn't mince 80 words here. And I want you to really consider what he's saying. It's not a hard chapter to understand. It's not a hard chapter to interpret. Sometimes it's hard for all of us to live it out. Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of the resurrection. But I want to warm us up with the first couple of verses from that chapter. So it's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and 2. Just start there for them. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before, the gospel. And Paul told them the good news and they accepted it. You welcomed it then. See that? You welcomed it then and you still stand firm in it. So you can't look at salvation as, well, you know, 20 years ago or last year or 6 months ago, I shook the preacher's hand or I prayed a prayer with a guy on the radio and I did something. It's an ongoing thing. You still believe it. You're still rooted in it, Paul says. Verse 2, it is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. So it's not just we believed at one time, we got our ticket, or, you know, get out of hell free card, or ticket to heaven that we can show at the gates. Oh, okay, you can come in. It's not that. We continue to believe it. Continue to believe the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel. And then he goes on. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. We'll stop there for a minute. I hope you'll read this whole chapter in context later on today. Just read all of chapter 15. The main part I want to start at is verse 12. And you might want to, you can do what you want. You can read along if you want. But you might want to consider just listening to this and let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. You're certainly welcome to read along too. Or you can read the whole chapter later. Whatever you want to do. So let this really sink in. Think what Paul's saying here. Remember, the Holy Spirit caused Paul to write down the words he wanted. So these are God-breathed words. And so let's see what the Holy Spirit has to say through these verses today, beginning at verse 12. But tell me this. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. And you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. If our hope in Christ, friends, listen, Paul said this, if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. Paul says that's pitiful. If we're believing in something that never happened, that's pitiful, it's terrible. If this life, even if you're a believer, listen to me, if this life is what you focus on, if this life is what you concentrate on, if this life is the only reason you go to church, so you can be a better person, people think good things of you, get to see your friends and all that, Paul says that's pitiful. That's an absolute waste of time. You're no different than any other religion if that's why you go to church, if that's why you're part of a church. Mormonism, Buddhism, pick one, Taoism, Jainism, Jehovah Witnesses, Hinduism, Islam, pick one. It doesn't matter if Jesus didn't raise from the dead. Maybe the people that follow those religions, they're all false. Maybe they're a little more spiritual in a sense. Not correctly spiritual, but they're spiritual. Maybe they're better neighbors, better citizens. That's good too. Maybe they're kinder. Maybe they're more generous. And those things should reflect the followers of Jesus. We that should be in our lives, but not. That's not the end all. That's not why we reflect, because we're saved. We've been given this gift. If it's only for this life, are you kinder a little bit in this life for the 70, 80, 90 years that you're on this earth? If all we are as a church, as the people that call themselves followers of Jesus, if all we are is just, well, we're going to be better people, we're going to teach our kids to be better people, and that's it, and we're just going to stick Jesus on the t-shirt, we're to be pitied. That's pitiful. If Jesus had not risen from the dead. Now remember, he's dead. He died. Now, don't listen to these. I've seen these over the years. Well, he was in this, there's the swoon theory, maybe you've seen that, some weird theology out there that he didn't really die, he was just kind of unconscious. No, he's dead. He's dead, then alive. No tricks, no explanations. If he didn't do that, if that's a myth, if that's a legend, then we're dead. We're just as good as dead as far as eternity is concerned. This life is it, and what we're doing here is nonsense. It's no different than all those other religions in the world. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone who dies belongs to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given a new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. But in fact, it's real, friends. It's real. Paul taught it as real. Paul saw the resurrected Christ. It was later on as a vision he appeared to him. There were many people that saw the resurrected Christ. Hundreds of people saw the resurrected Christ. Never recanted that or anything like that. So it's real. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Not a myth, not a story, it's not a legend. It really happened. It's a point in human history. It's what I have staked my entire life on, that happened. My entire eternity is based on that fact. Christ has been raised from the dead. Let that sink in. Joseph Smith founded Mormonism. He's dead. You can go visit his grave if you wanted to. The Buddha, founder of Buddhism, he's dead. Laozi, the founder of Taoism, he's dead. Mahavira, the founder of Jainism, thousands, millions of people follow them, he's dead. Charles Taze Russell started the Jehovah's Witnesses, he's dead. I don't know who founded, nobody knows who founded Hinduism, but whoever did, they're dead. The Prophet Muhammad, billions of people follow the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, he's dead. Jesus Christ, the founder of Christianity, if you will, he's alive. He's alive today. We celebrate it, not just on Easter. We celebrate it every day, and especially on Sundays. Now, to be fair, he was dead for 3 days, but then he's alive. He's still alive. Every other religious founder has died, and they stayed dead, and they'll always be dead. Jesus, the Messiah, died. And he rose from the dead, and he will always be alive. Today and tomorrow, on into eternity, if you could fathom eternity. And that, friends, that's who we follow. That's who sustains us. That's who gets us through these difficult times we're dealing with. He's the one who gives us truth, because Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Him himself, he doesn't just tell us what it is. He is those things. So he is the truth. He's the one who encourages us. It's not the news, regardless if your favorite news is mainline, alternative, online broadcast, I don't care. Not Facebook articles, not Twitter, not rumors, not what other people are doing next, not even the government. We follow someone who was risen from the dead. Back off on the other sources is my encouragement. Maybe dial that down a little and spend some time with Jesus and in the Word of God and see how he might encourage you. I read a promise in that section. It's verse 23. If you still have your Bibles open, that's fine. But verse 23 said, all who belong to Christ, do you belong to Christ? Yes? Say yes if you do. Yes. All right. All who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. We got nothing to fear. We got nothing to fear if you know him. I hope you do. Again, let's talk if you don't. But if you know him, you're going to be raised from the dead. You got nothing to fear out of you. Jesus said back in Matthew 16, 18, he established the church. You may remember this verse. And he said a very interesting phrase. Matthew 16, 18, he said, I'm establishing my church and the gates of hell cannot come against it. If it were possible for the very gates of hell to come to Bethel or the church in general, the gates of hell cannot prevail, cannot come against the church of Jesus Christ. And if the gates of hell cannot take down this church or the church at large, neither can COVID, neither can anything else. If you know Jesus, nothing can take you down either. Nothing can take you out. He's got you because Jesus is alive, and if you know him, you'll be alive too. A lot of talk about churches being closed and debates about that, and I understand that. Church never closed. Church never went anywhere. We were not able to, we closed our building for a while, but Bethel never closed. We still worshiped. We still were the church in our sphere of influences. We only shut the building up for that short time. It's longer than I thought it would be. It's not the first time the building got shut down. All the churches in this area were shut down for the 1918 Spanish flu. I saw that in an old newspaper. I don't know how long we were out then, back then, 100 years ago almost, or more than 100 years ago. I told you a story when I opened about a church that's a friend, that Diana and I have friends in, and now they have no church. They don't have any church. But you do. I do. We all have a church, and we're thankful for that. So let's go back to the question, who is guiding you through this? If you're a Jesus follower, who is guiding you, your primary guide? Any other answer, an answer other than Jesus, is going to come up short. I'm not saying that people aren't out there that tell the truth and are helpful and all that, but Jesus is the only one with the absolute truth. So go get your news wherever you want to get it. That's fine. Form your own opinions. I'll respect them if they're different from mine. If we agree, that's great too. And then take your news, take your opinions, take your fears, take whatever you're feeling right now about your country, about your own life or whatever it is, take them to Jesus. He's the only one with the truth. Remember that he's overcome everything. If somebody can overcome death, then everything else is secondary. And you'll overcome death as well if you know him. Let me pray for all of us. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for the resurrection and the truth of it. I thank you that it's historical and we can trust it, the accounts that we see in the Bible. And Lord, we thank you that you include us in your resurrection, that we will be resurrected with you someday. Lord, help us to go forth from this place with no fears. And when we do feel fears, Lord, to bring them to you so that you can take them from us. We do pray for our country. We pray for the things that are going on around us that bother us and concern us. But most of all, Lord, we look to you for guidance. We want you to be our shepherd as a church, as individuals. Help us to do what you want us to do and be in your will. In Jesus' name, amen.